Welcome to the weekly broadcast of the Father's House International in Westminster, South Carolina. We are bringing forth and reestablishing the apostolic message, movement, and ministry, and God's fatherhood and family in all dimensions. We are a local, regional, and national ministry that is cross-cultural and multiracial. Now, here is our founder and host, Dr. Seymour.
Genesis 1:14, and God said, "Let there be lights in the heaven, in the firmament. Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and divide the day from night, sun, moon, stars, galaxy." And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, to divide the day from the night, and then let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years." Well, that covers everything, right? Now, in Leviticus 23:4, these are the feasts of the Lord. These are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which ye shall proclaim in their season. Yes, these are the feasts of the Lord, even holy convocations, which you shall proclaim in their seasons, signs, season, days, years. And then in Exodus 34:1 down through there, "And the Lord said unto the man of God, Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write upon these tables the words that were on the first tables which thou breakest." If you remember in Exodus 32, a man of God, Moses, came off that mountain, been up there 40 days with God, and Aaron had been down there with the people, and they built a golden calf, and he saw that, and the anger of God came upon him, and he took and broke the Ten Commandments that God wrote with his finger up there, kicked over that calf, and told them to go out. "You go out here and slay every man, kill them that's involved in this, or that won't follow me." Anybody hear that?
Amen.
Well, "And the Lord said unto the man of God, Moses, hew thee two tables of stone, like unto the first, and I will write unto thee tables of the words that were in the first stone which thou breakest, and be ready in the morning." And be ready in the morning. "Come up in the morning into Mount Sinai and present thyself to me in top of the mount. And no man shall come with thee, neither let any man be seen throughout all the mount. Neither let the flocks nor herds feed before the mount." And man of God Moses rose up early in the morning. He hewed out two more tables of stone. And the man of God, Moses, rode up early in the morning, went up to Mount Sinai, and as the Lord had commanded him, and took in his hand two tables of stone that he had hewed again.
Right.
Now, their feast of the Lord's, the feast of the Lord, holy days of Israel, we're in those right now, Elul, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah, and then the Feast of Tabernacles. So, feast of the Lord, holy days of Israel, and remember, for signs and seasons, and feasts are, as I have taught many times through the years, Judaism is filled with many celebrations, feasts, and holy days. And they knew God before we ever did. So Judaism is literally filled with many celebrations, feasts, and holy days. Everything God does is established on days, times, and seasons. Everything that God does is established on days, times, and seasons. All of the feasts of the Lord have great meaning. All the feasts of the Lord between God and all humanity. All the feasts of the Lord have great meaning between God and humanity, especially for the Jewish people, as types and shadows fulfilled by God Jesus Christ, and fulfilled by the Holy Ghost, brought forth by the Holy Ghost. Jesus came and fulfilled God the Son, Christ Jesus. We know that God the Son, Jesus, gave real meaning and fulfillment to the types and shadows in the Old Testament feast and holy days. Also in the giving of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost, other New Testament fulfillments. The Holy Ghost fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. A feast. Shavuot, yes. So we're Christians, not Jews, but Christianity is based on Judaism. You can't have Christianity without Judaism. Impossible. They're connected. So we're Christians, not Jews, but Christianity is based on Judaism. Judaism contains the foundation and the fathers of Christianity.
Yes,
Judaism, it contains the foundation and fathers of Christianity. So although we are not bound legalistically to observe Jewish traditions, In other words, we're not just absolutely bound by God to do that, being Christians, as far as we can tell. It is still good to understand and regard God the Father's original intent. With the feasts and memorials and appointed times that He set up, that God set up, those truths are still eternal. They're eternal. They have multi-layered meanings, and they still apply to us today. God the Son, Jesus, observed the Old Testament feast. He did not throw them away, even though He brought in, and He was all of that. He did not throw them away, and He did not refute any of them. You see what I'm saying? Passover, Luke 2, 41 through 43, John 11, 15, Matthew 16, 17, John 13, 29, refers to the Passover. The Feast of Tabernacles, John 7 and 2. Now the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. There it is. Do you see that? Going to the feast. I will not go up yet unto the feast, for now time is not yet fulfilled. That's what he's trying to say. But Jesus kept the feast. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught right in the midst of the feast. See that? So Feast of Tabernacles. Then the Feast of Dedication, Hanukkah. John 10, 22 through 23. Those scriptures. The Apostle Paul observed the Old Testament feast, Acts 18, 21, but bade them farewell. And this is what he said. I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem. I've got to go to the feast. The Apostle Paul, Christian, after the cross. He said, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will. And he sailed to Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 5 and 8, therefore let us keep the feast, the Apostle Paul said. Not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice or wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and faith. He said, let us keep the feast. So though we are Christians and are not totally just bound to do just like the Jewish would do to observe Old Testament feasts, it still seems the right thing to do to heed to God the Father's original times and seasons. It does. Original times and seasons. To understand God's fullest intent behind all the appointed times, to regard, honor, commemorate, and respect these days in a special way, to draw close to God not only every day, but with special commemoration on the special holy days. From the month of Elul, and even you got Pentecost and Passover and all that, month of Elul, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Feast of Tabernacles, all that. We're coming into the time of the holy fall days, the holy fall days. The fall feast of the Lord, the high holy days of the Lord are coming upon us. The month of Elul, this year started sundown on August the 24th. And it began on August the 25th, ending in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah in September 22. Rosh Hashanah, Feast of Trumpet, Jewish New Year, one Tishrei, starts at sundown September 22nd. September 22nd, that evening, then that next morning we start celebrating Yom Kippur, the Great Day of Atonement. 10 Tishrei starts at sundown on Tuesday, September the 23rd, right here is the way it goes. Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, 15 Tishrei starts after that. The Jewish people consider the fall season to be the holiest among the year. Although the feasts of the spring season are so regarded as very holy, Passover, Pentecost, very holy too, right? Amen. The Jewish calendar and the Gentile calendar, known as the Gregorian calendar, was introduced in 1582 by Pope Gregory the 13th. So this Gregorian calendar was a reform of the previous Julian calendar, which was a reform of the previous Roman calendar. Most of all the world today uses the calendar that America's on right now. But the Jewish people still keep their own calendar and observe their dates and holy days that God set up before in the beginning. Yes, sir. God the Father established the Jewish calendar. The Jewish people began with God long, long, long before we ever began with God. Yes, sir. Thank God for them. Yes, sir. The Jewish people knew God a long, long, long time before we ever, ever knew God. So the main Jewish calendar begins on Rosh Hashanah, their new year, sometimes in our September or October. See what I mean? So Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the new year. This is known as the day of first man Adam. He was created and brought forth in the Garden of Eden on the day of Rosh Hashanah, the first day of the Jewish year.
Yes,
it's known as the day that first man Adam, Rosh Hashanah, the new year, the Jewish new year, was created and brought forth in the Garden of Eden. This is the day from the creation of the world that the Jewish people start counting from. Created the heaven and the earth, made man, you see. So that's where they start counting from. Rosh Hashanah, known as the day that first man Adam was created, brought forth in the Garden of Eden. This is the day when the creation of the world and the Jewish people started counting from. So let's review the significance of Rosh Hashanah. There's much great significance of Rosh Hashanah. Rosh, head. Hebrew word is head of the year. There's much significance to Rosh Hashanah, just like all the of God's holy days. In brief summary, Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Rosh, Roshe, Rosh. In the Hebrew, that's head. So in summary, Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Literally means head, Rosh, of the turning, Shana. You see that? The turning of another year. Rosh Hashanah, going into another year.
Right.
So really, when you were born, you can't say he's 1 year old. You have to wait till his birthday and say, now he's one. You see? So Rosh Hashanah means head of the year. Literally means head, Rosh, of the turning, Shana. You see that? The turning of another year. But also the opportunity for each person to turn over a new leaf start a new leaf if needed on the New Year's. So we're living now in the Jewish thing of New Year. So each person can make a choice to turn away from right and wrong and to right, or turn away from right to the wrong thing. People do that. Of course, we can know that every day that Rosh Hashanah is seen as the extra special time for this. It is every day we should know that. So just as the Israelites came to Kadesh Barnea, out in the wilderness, time of decision. You want to come out of here? God, you want to come out of here? Or you want to go raise it? They said, no, we don't want to come out of here. So he said, okay. So many more days right around this thing, on and on and on.
Amen.
Round and round in Kadesh Barnea in the desert. I want to come out of Kadesh Barnea.
Amen.
So anyway, just as the Israelites came to Kadesh Barnea and could either go in a circle back in the wilderness, repeat the same errors they had been making, or they could come into obedience to God and turn the other way and get into the promised land. Principle is the same. Rosh Hashanah, head of the year, head of the turning. Head of the year, head of the turning. So Rosh Hashanah is head of the turning. Things are going to turn one way or the other. All depends on what we do, okay? Rosh Hashanah may be written and sealed for a good year. So Rosh Hashanah is supposed to be the day when God writes in his books his decree about each person for the following year because of what they have done in the 30 days of Elul and the 10 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah. You see?
Yes, sir.
So, he writes his decree, but still gives a little more time for repentance, just a little more, in case your repentance could change God's decree.
Amen.
When 10 days later on Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, it is said that God seals his decree. Rosh Hashanah, it'll follow you, but you've got 10 more days. I don't take a chance. I'm not taking a chance when God came upon me in that pickup truck, because he may not come back again. And this is my time, right time, right place. You see, it was my time. I don't care what anybody else thinks. What they could see me in my pickup truck, I could care less. God said, hey, boy, I'm tired of waiting on you. I've got something for you to do, but I didn't know that. I just knew I was miserable. I was running from God. My God, don't want to go to hell. On and on and on. Right? Yeah, how many don't want to go to hell? Don't want to go to hell. So, to the Jewish people, whatever he wrote about you is now sealed after the great day of atonement. Therefore, it's essential to the Jewish people they have repented, returned to God in all areas of life before Yom Kippur, Day of Atonement, and on and on and on. So you've got 30 days of Elul, which we'll talk about if we can get to it today. that you repent and return. Repent, return, examine yourself.
Right.
Look and see what's wrong in your life. Therefore, it's essential to the Jewish people that they have repented and returned to God in all areas of their life before Yom Kippur and the Great Day of Atonement. So some people have been examining themselves either a month before the month of Elul. We are in the month of Elul. I'll talk about that in a little bit. We're in the month of Elul now. So some people have either examined themselves a month even before the month of Elul or Rosh Hashanah, the New Year, Jewish New Year, 10 days before Yom Kippur. Most Jewish people will begin examining themselves at some point during the time of Elul, E-L-U-L, before Rosh Hashanah, 10 days, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, New Year, and for sure before Yom Kippur, 10 more days, Great Day of Atonement. You might could compare those who begin their teshuvah, that's repent and return to God. That's during the month of Elul.
Yes,
you might compare those who begin their teshuvah before the month of Elul to those who start their Christmas shopping at the beginning of December. Technically, you could wait until the last minutes on Christmas Eve to do your shopping. As long as you have your gifts ready by Christmas Day, even if you have to get them on Christmas Eve, somebody thinks that's okay. That's chaos. That's disorder. However, most everyone knows it is not a wise idea to wait that long. You need to start preparing at the beginning of the holiday season. At least then.
Yes, sir.
In a similar manner, it is the best to begin preparing for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur during the month of Elul and not waiting until the last moment to repent and return unto God.
Yes,
Rosh Hashanah is also called the Feast of Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah is called the Feast of the Trumpets. Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets for many reasons. Feast of Trumpets for many reasons. The trumpets commemorate judgment, the call to repentance. Trumpets commemorate judgment, the call to repentance. Like blow a trumpet in Zion. Many different types of trumpet sounds mean to evoke different emotions. Different types, hear me. There are different types of trumpet sounds that are meant to evoke different emotions. The sound of the shofar, ram's horn. Also sounding of the silver trumpets given to high priest Aaron and his sons. They make different sounds. The trumpets commemorate the king's coronation. The crowning of a king, crowning of a king, the crowning God the Father as king of the universe and king of your life.
Amen.
Hear that?
Yes, sir.
The trumpets commemorate the king's coronation, crowning God the Father as king of the universe and your life. On Rosh Hashanah, when first man Adam opened his eyes, please hear.
Yes, sir.
On Rosh Hashanah, when first man Adam opened his eyes, hear this. It is said that his first words were that the Lord God is king forever and ever. On Rosh Hashanah, when first man Adam opened his eyes, it is said that his first words, the Lord God is king forever and ever.
Yes,
therefore, the birthday of humanity,
yes,
your birthday of humanity came at Rosh Hashanah, is also the coronation of God as king of the universe.
Yes,
you should crown him as king of the universe because you came into the earth.
Yes,
the famous Jewish prayer read on Rosh Hashanah is called Avinu Malkinu, meaning our Father the King, our Father the King. The following psalms are said to refer to the sounding of the trumpets of Rosh Hashanah. Psalms 81 and 3, and blow the trumpet in the new moon, in the appointed time of our solemn feast, blow the trumpet. Blessed be the people that know the joyful sound. Psalms 89:15. The joyful sound is the massive amount of trumpets being blown during Rosh Hashanah. Blessed the people that hear the joyful sound, all the trumpets blowing at Rosh Hashanah. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. The trumpets commemorate God's faithfulness to our spiritual ancestors. The trumpets commemorate God's faithfulness to our spiritual ancestors. The Jewish read the story of the binding of Isaac in Genesis 22, verse 9, on Rosh Hashanah. The Jewish people read the binding of Isaac, son Isaac. This is when he was taken up. God told the man of God, Abraham, take him up on Mount Moriah and offer him up for a sacrifice.
Yes.
Father Abraham, he went up there with his son to sacrifice him unto the Lord.
Yes.
You see, think about that. The promised one, He's the one that promised us that everything's going to come out of. The Messiah's going to come out of. So the trumpets commemorate God's faithfulness to our spiritual ancestors. The Jews read the story of the binding of Isaac, Genesis 22:9, on Rosh Hashanah. They celebrate Isaac's redemption through the sacrifice of the ram caught in a thicket. As Father Abraham, I preached on this before, as he and son Isaac were walking up on top of the mountain, carrying wood, like Jesus carried the cross. Come on, somebody. Walking up on the mountain, they didn't know it, but on the other side of the mountain, hallelujah, every step they took, God had a ram walking up too. They couldn't see him. They're walking up this side, and a ram on the other side, walking up every step they walk, the ram is walking with them. Come on, somebody. Amen. Oh, yeah. So the ram was caught in a thicket, and Father Abraham was coming down with a knife. You can't stop once you come. Abraham. He was listening for God to the very last second. Stop. Withhold thine hand from the last. For now I know that you fear me. For now I know that you believe me and you fear me. You totally really belong to me. Hallelujah. Anybody see that? For now I know. Dear God, the sounding of the shofar reminds us of the sacrifice of the ram. The fact that a son Isaac passed from death to life, because really, it was though he was already dead. That we are asking God on Rosh Hashanah that we might also pass from death to life for another year. Pass from death to life, not only in our life and living, but our bodies, everything. Pass from death to life. We don't believe in death, we believe in life. Hallelujah. We believe in life. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for life. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yes. Amen. So, the sounding of the shofar reminds us of the sacrifice of the ram. The fact that a son Isaac passed from death to life, that we are asking God on Rosh Hashanah that we might also pass from death to life for another year. And that we also live our lives as an open, obedient, living sacrifice like son Isaac. Son Isaac was willing to go, and for God through his father to take his life. He was willing to go. He was. And so coming out of that, look what all son Isaac did. Well, the trumpets commemorate the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, at Shavuot, Pentecost, during the springtime. That's a feast in the springtime. The trumpets commemorate the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, at Shavuot, Pentecost, during the time of springtime. The trumpets commemorate the ushering in of the Messianic Age. Many, many parallels in the book of Revelation with angels sounding trumpets all throughout the book of Revelation. The trumpets commemorate God's mighty voice. Even if the rapture of the church, if it takes place, it would be, the trumpet will sound. If it really does take place, I'm not going to fight it. I'm going to live just like it's not going to happen in my lifetime, and live for the Lord to the last second is what I'm going to do. So I don't refute that, okay? The trumpets commemorate many things. During a typical Rosh Hashanah service, the trumpets were sounded at least 100 times. 100 times the trumpet at a typical Rosh Hashanah service, the trumpets are sounded at least 100 times. It is meant to be a solemn but joyful event. Solemn but joyful. Crowning God as king over your life. Rosh Hashanah. Crowning God as king of the to commemorate the king. Crowning God as king over your life. Entering into a new year, fresh and clean, with God writing a good decree about you in his book for the next year. And you should have already done all your repenting by Rosh Hashanah. Don't wait till the Rosh Hashanah. Clear yourself all that time. But just in case you haven't, you have 10 days left until Yom Kippur. So Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New Year Feast of Trumpets, is both a serious and solemn assembly, but also supposed to be for great rejoicing. The Holy Ghost come upon you as rejoicing. Amen. It is for sure an all-inspiring event. with all the majestic trumpet sounding. On Rosh Hashanah, the Jews have many, many customs. Many customs, many observations, many celebrations take place on Rosh Hashanah. It would take too long for me to bring them now, but there are many, many observations and celebrations they have. Instances on the occurrences on Rosh Hashanah. It was on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, that Satan came into God's heavenly throne and accused man of God, Job. It was on Rosh Hashanah, the Jewish New Year, that Satan came into God's holy court and accused man of God, Job. The beginning of man of God, Job's great trial, Job 1:6, down through there. And there was a day, Rosh Hashanah. There was a day, first day, Rosh Hashanah, when the sons of God came to present themselves to the Lord, and Satan came among them. Then the Lord said unto Satan, "Whence comest thou?" Then Satan answered the Lord, "From going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Has thou considered my..." He said, I'm trying to walk, seeing whom I may devour, Satan. And the Lord said unto Satan, "Has thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, and perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil?" Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear thee for naught, what you give to him?" He's the richest man in the east. What been? Verse 10, "Hast thou not made a hedge about him, and in his house about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and the substance is increased in the land." His substance is. "Then put forth thy hand now and touch all that he has, but he will curse you." Well, God said, "I tell you what, I know he won't. You can do everything to him, but you can't take his life. He has a life covenant that you cannot take his life. No sickness can take his life. Nothing can take his life. He's going to live as long as I need him in purpose on the earth." See that? The only time the actual phrase Rosh Hashanah appears in the Bible is in Ezekiel 40. The only time that the phrase Rosh Hashanah appears in the Bible is in Ezekiel 40. When God gives prophet Ezekiel visions of angels measuring the different parts of the temple. When God gives prophet Ezekiel different measurements of the temple, showing us that God measured his house and decreed judgment during the 10 days between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Even between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, God measures his house and decreed judgment, good or bad, against it. And so Ezekiel 40 verse 1, "In the 5th and 20th year of captivity, in the beginning of the year, Rosh Hashanah, the 10th month, day of the month would be Yom Kippur. In the 14th year of that same was smitten, in the self same day, the hand of the Lord was upon me and brought me up thither." New Year's, Rosh Hashanah, when God gives him that. You see?
Yes, sir.
So even between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, God measures his house and decreed judgment, good or bad, against it.
Yes, sir.
Rosh Hashanah. Crowning God as king of the to commemorate the king. It's a time of crowning God as king over your life, Rosh Hashanah. You see that, everybody? Hallelujah. Praise God.
We trust that you've been helped during today's broadcast with Dr. Seymour from the Father's House International. Join us right here on WGOG every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We invite you to come be with us in our weekly services at the Father's House International, Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. and Tuesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. We are located at 415 Pateras Way, Westminster, South Carolina. For directions or additional information, call us at 864-647-7777. That's 864-647-7777. Until next week, may you allow God to bring you into a greater measure of His truth and a deeper level of relationship with Himself.